This is American Fashion Podcast. I'm Charles Beckwith, here with Kathy Shappas.
Hi, everyone.
And our guest in the studio is the president of the Accessories Council. We're here with Karen Guyberson. Hi, Karen.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
Nice to be here.
Well, thanks for coming. You have kind of a hot topic, the tariffs issue, which is certainly big in the entire fashion industry and in many industries, and your organization is really trying to stay on top of it. Can you tell us a little bit about what's going on?
Yeah, last spring, early summer, when the tariffs announced their third round, we were shocked and surprised to see it include many of our categories, like handbags and hair accessories and rubber boots and hats. And it seemed very out of place with chemicals and other material sorts of things. And so quickly became a student of what was this about and what impact could it potentially have on our members. And after a good two-week deep dive into the process of how the tariffs were unfolding in List 1 or 2, List 1 had already been announced and resolved at that point. List 2 of items was pending. We were List 3. We decided that if we didn't get involved and fight for our members and our companies, that nobody was going to do it. There were very few fashion organizations or brands that stepped up to challenge the tariff with Congress or in any way. So we just sort of took the ball and made every best effort to advocate for our members.
Now, do you have a similar mission to the Apparel and Footwear Association?
We do. We exist. The Accessories Council was founded almost 25 years ago with a mission that is basically to help our members sell more product, whatever their product is, whatever the price point is. We have members that are very, very small and very, very large. And when this came up, it felt like it could be a big hurdle for a number of our members who were reliant on sourcing their products from China. So we took an active stand. Now, the AAFA and the National Retail Federation did too, and we greatly appreciate what they did. And they, in fact, mentored us through the process. But nevertheless, they were much broader in the categories that they were fighting for. And it felt like, you know, the handbags that our products really needed a voice. Now, we have members that are in footwear and in jewelry and a number of categories that weren't named. And if they are named in the future, we're ready to go and do it again.
So what have you done? Have you been able to have an impact on what the tariffs are going to be?
No, we failed, unfortunately. We made every best effort. We first applied to testify in front of Congress, which I then did. They give you a whole 5 minutes and, you know, made best argument as to why our goods really didn't meet the criteria that the government had set as, you know, one of the issues with the trade with China. We're not really sharing intellectual property. We're classified as dumb products. You're either a smart product or you're a dumb product. We're dumb products. One of our members said we're the dumbest of the dumb products. You know, handbags have largely been made in the same way for a long time. So
the good ones.
Yeah. I mean, really, they're hand, you know, there's a lot of hand work involved in them. And so we also didn't feel like we're a big enough category that it was going to be a change maker. You know, I didn't feel, nor did any of our members feel that, you know, the Chinese officials were going to stand up and say, oh my, they're taxing handbags. Now we must change our trade policies. So that's why we went to bat.
So now the tariffs are 10%. On an existing 8% and then maybe going up to 25%. Is that right? And And did you know that when you were there? Like, what's the situation when you're sitting in front of Congress? Like, were you nervous?
I was super nervous. I was super nervous. I don't intimidate easily, but it was intimidating. You stood in front, or you're sitting at a table, and you had a little light in front of you, a red light, a green light. You're basically reading the testimony that you already sent in, but in front of you was the Department of Homeland Security and trade commissioners, and you know, there was probably 8 or 10 people there and a stenographer taking notes, and it was intimidating. But to answer your question, tariffs before all of this happened in the categories that were named on our list range from about 8% all the way up to 20%. Initially, they said it would be an additional 10%. And then in the midst of the process, they came back and said, no, it's going to be an additional 25%, making a tote bag. Let's just say you were making a synthetic tote bag, 45% tariff. That's up to 10 to 13% of the whole cost of the bag is just tariff. 10%, a lot of our companies felt like, oh, you know, it stinks, we'll deal with it. 25% was a game changer. And so there was no, you know, there was a timeline for when you could testify, but after testimony, there was no timeline given for when they would make a decision, and then no timeline given for when that would go into effect. So we had about, it was a little less than a month after the testimonies concluded when they decided that they indeed were going to tariff our categories. And they said initially between September 24th and January 1st, it would be an additional 10%. So if you were at 20%, you're at 30%. Starting, they gave them a week. So the challenge is that after January 1st, that 30% goes to 45%. So, you know, our companies are scrambling to figure out what remedies they might have.
Do you think this will push people to manufacture domestically again? Will this help with Made in USA?
You know, while we fought for, you know, to have the tariff eliminated, we also celebrate and are excited about products that are made in the United States. I think in some categories, it's possible to make more product in the United States. Unfortunately, handbags, not so much. There are some manufacturers here that make beautiful products, but their capacities aren't large enough to absorb even a little bit of what's made in China. So we don't have the right equipment, we don't have the right factories, and we don't have the right laborers. And even if we did, the cost of labor would make the products quite expensive. And we're already in a sensitively priced category. So I would say in the case of handbags, it'd be really tough. Other categories like jewelry, which weren't included, but were they to be included, we could make more jewelry here.
So when you speak your piece about why, you know, defending the industry and how what an adverse effect this will have, do they have solutions? You know, is Congress saying we understand what this effect will be, but we, you know, do they have recommendations? Like, how are you supposed to suddenly handle this tremendous increase without it doing the same to consumer prices?
There are absolutely no recommendations. So what we are doing is we're coming up with recommendations. We've worked with an outstanding legal firm that's helped us not only understand but navigate what options there might be for smaller manufacturers and, you know, some for larger manufacturers. I'm less worried about a really big manufacturers because they have savvy sourcing teams and they have legal teams and they have the ability to, you know, find new countries to make their bags in and to demand the, have the clout to figure it out. I'm more worried about our medium-sized to smaller companies that don't have the, they're not producing enough units to really flex their muscles and make change, or they're very reliant on, factories. And it's, let's face it, it's quite expensive to try to find a new factory or new supply chain.
So is these tariffs that go into effect in January only affect China? So the Indian suppliers in Bangladesh will not be affected?
Currently, India is not on the list. So a handbag coming in from India has no tariff. A leather handbag. There's other categories that have tariff. You know, they're threatening tariffs on other countries. So one could expect that there'll be other changes down the road, but nothing from India right now.
But it's the other countries are pretty much like below 15%. I mean, they're a small amount that are exported here from Italy or France or...
Very small.
Even India.
India's underpenetrated, for sure. Yeah. I'd say
so
one thing...
Are companies thinking longer term now? Like, not necessarily how do we correct the next 2 years, but, you know, thinking 10 years down the road for... Which would kind of get back to Charles Moore, U.S. production.
Sounds like a good time to start a factory to me.
It's a good question. I think that what it exposed is our industry had a good dependence on sourcing from China. You know, it became very easy. You could have an inspector on hand that could inspect your goods in all the factories, and you could consolidate your freight. And but nevertheless, even before this, it was getting more expensive to make things in China, and some of those factories were closing. And so it was already a good time to diversify your supply chain wherever else you could make your product. So, you know, be it domestic or other countries. It's definitely an opportunity to re-examine where everything's coming from and, you know, how reliant you are on any one resource or one country as a resource.
So what are your main recommendations to your members or anybody in the space about how to brace themselves for this, how to deal with it?
Well, in the short term, the wholesalers are the ones that will end up feeling the punch. So, you know, they had a week, they're going to start paying 10% more. If those goods had a purchase order that was going to a store, the stores aren't going to say, you know, hey, we're going to pay you more for those goods now. So out of the gate, it's our manufacturers, our brands that will feel the pinch. Down the road, I have no doubt those additional costs would be passed along to the consumer. The bummer is, again, that, you know, business has been, you know, it's okay, but we haven't been in a robust accessory period for a while. So when you have price sensitive goods, you know, you have to just be careful. Is the consumer willing to pay more? So, you know, those companies who sell direct, the consumer may feel it more quickly. So it's funny because a lot of people, I was listening to our president talk about nobody, you know, hasn't affected anything yet. And you know what? He's right. It hasn't affected anything yet. We're going to get through the holiday and it's not going to have a big effect. It's going to hit next spring. It's going to hit when all those goods that were repriced hit the floor.
Right. You have catalogs printed. I mean, you can't turn around and change your prices in 3 months or 1 month. It's at least 6 months, right?
Exactly. So don't make no mistake mm-hmm. about it. There will be a spill onto the consumer. It's just not right now.
So can you talk a little bit more about the Accessories Council? You have a couple of events coming up, and how do people become members?
Yeah, so the Accessories Council is a not-for-profit trade association, and we're counselors, counselors. We work with our brands to really help them accelerate their sales. We offer educational events. We go to 12 trade shows a year. We have discounted rates on trade shows. We have a few really fun events coming up. One of them is our annual summit. We're calling it a business workshop this year because we want it to be much more action oriented, not just listening to presentations, but we're going to have exercises and a moderator, a woman named Allison Task, throughout the day. We're calling her the Taskmaster of the day. That's going to really help coach for, you know, whether you attend for personal growth or you're attending to make changes in your business. We have a number of thought provocative speakers for the day. We also are running an India sourcing fair if anybody is interested in India. So all you need to do, you can go on our website and get information to join the council. You can attend either of those events, whether you're a member or not.
So that's accessoriescouncil.org is the website. When is the summit?
November 15th, all day. It will be at the Hearst Towers.
So what is happening with the accessories business? I actually was under the impression that it was still kind of climbing.
Well, you know, accessories business is so diverse because we have many, many categories. We have belts, hats, scarves, gloves, bags, shoes, even to some degree hosiery or socks. So I like to, it's kind of like an accordion, you know, one's up, one's down. It's a hot belt year, it's a hot scarf year, it's a hot bag year. Right now, bags have some peaks, even within bags, which happens to be one of the biggest categories. Backpacks, belt bags, things that allow you to have your hands free so we can hold our phones and our technology. Those are doing quite well. You know, across every niche, there's something that's doing well, but they're, you know, it's business has been tough. A lot of stores have closed. People are needing to change the way they distribute their goods.
I also feel like in the luxury space, it's like how high can the prices go? You know, even with the value of the dollar, it didn't seem to translate into any lower prices with the European imports over the last few years. Well, like, is there a ceiling, do you think, or will we just pay $4,000 for a bag on average soon?
There's a handful of companies that can command great big prices and that people see as collectibles, and they buy them and, you know, they use them and keep them, or they buy them and they bring them to the real, get the next one.
Do you think this idea of the sharing economy is going to be big for accessories coming up?
Absolutely. Yeah, I think especially for designer goods, and whether you're reselling or you're renting, yeah, it makes sense. It makes sense, and I think it's kind of fun. It's a fun way to sample and try new things.
As long as they keep making them, and we'll they'll be always, available for resale.
We're always keep making them. You know, there is such creativity in our industry, and you know, you think about new materials and all the sustainable kinds of products that are out there. That really is inspiring, and it's fun to watch. Our designers just continuously create. There'll be no shortage of creativity. In fact, things like tariff issues, I think, force creativity, because maybe you have to make it somewhere else, or maybe you have to make it out of a different material or in a different way. So at the end of the day, I think the upside is that, you know, when the going gets tough, the creative people will figure out a new way to do it.
Well, and creative people kind of relooking at the supply chain, as well as talking about sustainability. Do your members share information? You know, do they work together to? Yes, that's great.
They do. You know, it's one of the things that we do. We have a lot of networking events, and I find that people are generally willing to share. We're in a category where, you know, it's not like buying a toaster. I bought the toaster. I'm never going to, you know, I don't need another toaster. I bought earrings. I'm going to buy another pair of earrings and another pair of earrings. So I do find that people are genuinely willing to share contacts and to share information and pitfalls, and they like to help each other.
Yeah, I think sharing like best practices with smaller startups is really important, you know, so it would seem to me that your organization kind of has the power to bring that together.
Yeah.
Bigger brands helping smaller brands.
We facilitate
it. If brands help brands.
We have mentoring.
Mm-hmm.
We have formal mentoring programs. Mm-hmm. We have a few informal mentoring programs. And then our education events, we did, I mean, I think we did 50 events last year, and the bulk of them were educational events, taking on topics that were, you know, that were challenges, or you want to learn about something new.
That's great. Yeah.
Karen, thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah. My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, that was fun. Thanks.
AmericanFashionPodcast.com is our website, AFPOD is our Twitter handle, and on Instagram we are at American Fashion Show. There's a Be a Guest form on our website. You can also give us feedback through the website, through voicemail at 646-979-8709, or by writing to info@AmericanFashionPodcast.com. We occasionally do live events, and to get on the list for free tickets to our live shows, click the live show link also on our website. American Fashion Podcast is produced by the Fashion Media Center for Mouth Media Network. Listen to our sister shows, Fashion is Your Business, Material is Your Business, and Beauty is Your Business, also on Mouth Media Network. This and other episodes are copyrighted by Open Source Business Incorporated and Mouth Media Network Incorporated, all rights reserved. Subsist, friends, remain in force, keep making things beautiful, and keep listening. I'm Charles Beckwith, and we'll talk to you again next week.